Oh, man, there's just such a beautiful presence in here. Glory to God. I'm just so thankful for the Lord. I'm so thankful for all that He does for us, you know. I have proven it out in my life, and I'm just so moved and blessed by God always, because, you know, the scripture, and of course I quote it all the time, says, you know, He's never left me nor forsaken me, nor He's never left us nor forsaken us, or He's never left you nor forsaken you. Glory to God. But man, it's so true. You know, God reminds me of His presence all the time. He reminds me of Himself all the time, that He's there, that He's ready to talk to me, that He's there for me. Glory to God. And you know, I just can't see a God any other way anymore. I remember coming from religion, there was a time when I'd see a God who would put pain and suffering on people and would do bad things to people, you know, and there are times we go through things, I understand that, and of course, you know, the Word tells us that. All in all, our God has a good and perfect plan, amen, and I'm so glad that we get to walk it out, but praise God, hallelujah. Well, tonight, I'm preaching a message called More Sure Way, and actually, it's funny because this message was kind of birthed birthed out of that faith fix I answered, kind of, but not wholly. I was kind of having this direction anyways, but you know, I just love it again how, you know, I'm kind of naturally speaking, kind of a chaotic person. I kind of, you know, left, right, up and down, all over the place. I just can kind of, the wind blows just right and I can get moved in a different direction, you know, and that's just the way that I work. And so I really work a lot better, naturally speaking. I work a lot better off the cuff. You know, by the seat of my pants, so to speak, you know, if I can just get into it. There's times where I don't even know what I'm going to do on something. I just get into it and see where it takes me. Amen. And I suppose that's why the Lord can use me in ministry some anyways, because there's a lot of times where you have to be like that in ministry. You know, there's a lot of days that will change. There's a lot of weeks that will change. You think you're going one way and all of a sudden it's completely different. And I mean, I know we could all experience that to a degree, but it really is magnified in ministry. There's times, you know, I remember one week where I woke up and in a few ended up in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, you know, and that just never happened to me in the natural world. Amen. It just never happened that way. But glory to God. It's good to follow God. But the interesting thing is the reason I bring that up is because as they put these messages together, you know, as I seek God for the messages and what He's to teach, you know, or what I'm to teach, you know, I don't just seek God for those things. I tend to stay before the Lord as much as I can. And what I mean by that is I just endeavor to live a life the way a Christian should. Not because I'm a pastor, just because I'm a Christian, amen? And so, you know, He connects dots. Like, you'll get revelation, bits of revelation here and there as you do that. And then all of a sudden, you'll connect dots for you, and you'll move into something real good, amen? Praise the Lord. So tonight's message, A More Sure Way, we're going to see what it's all about, but it is about prayer. We're going to be talking about another aspect of prayer and generalize things as well, and then we'll get into prayer a little bit, at least a little bit anyways. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're going to start over there, Romans 10:2. And you might think that this, if you get there and you look at this, you might think, well, I just kind of flipped right open to that. Look at that. I almost think it was Philippians and not Romans. Amen. Well, you know, I love that joke. I'll use it until nobody laughs at all. Amen. And then I still might anyways, because I still think it's funny. Amen. Romans 10:2. You might look at this and you might think, you know, what in the heck does this have to do with prayer? But I think we'll connect the dots here. Glory to God. Romans 10:2. It says, speaking of the Jews, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You know, I've come to know this in my life. My life as a Christian, as I've known other Christians and I've gotten to minister and I've gotten to be a pastor and gotten to see all these things, that there's many people that have a zeal for God. What is a zeal for God? Zeal, you know, if you have a zeal for God, it means that you're really after God. You're really hungry for God. You really want more of God. You want to know Him more. Glory to God. You want to get into what He's got. You want to get into those deeper levels that sometimes we hear about and stuff like that. But, you know, this scripture points out about the Jews, and they were, you know, religious people, and they were God's people. But here it says that they have a zeal for God, which is a good thing. Yeah. Nobody would say a zeal for God is a bad thing. Even the Bible tells us to be zealous for God. Amen. But not according to knowledge. And I think that's really interesting that Paul throws that in there. Because we see that even though they have that zeal, it's not according to knowledge. And so they don't benefit from the truth of God the way that they should. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know, over there in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen? Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests before me. And of course, there goes on to say more stuff there, but I wanted to focus on that. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They may have a zeal for God, but there's a lack of knowledge. Yeah. Folks, I've noticed this a lot in the church over the years. Yeah. You know, I grew up in a church that, you know, was a pretty, like what you would consider a pretty common average church, just a congregational church. And there were some great people there, and I heard different things over the years, and you know they weren't bad people or anything like that. So from that standpoint, there was a Christian foundation put in me, you know. But then as I got a little bit older, I fell away from the Lord, and then when I came back to God, I got connected with some charismatics and some Pentecostals and kind of the flow that we're not. If you've come from that background and you're here now, you might think, well, you might seem a little less Pentecostal than what I've seen out there. Yeah. You know, and it's because I'm not trying to be anything but a Christian. Yeah. I'm not trying to be anything but scriptural. Yeah. Amen. I don't care about what it looks like, as long as it looks like what God wants it to look like. As long as it looks like what's in the Word. And there'll be different times. There's times, you know, in over there in Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us that there's a season for everything, a time for every purpose under heaven. Amen. And so there is a time when, where the Spirit will be moving and there'll be more of a flow that what we would consider a Holy Ghost service maybe and stuff like that. We won't reject stuff like that. Not when it's God. But at the same time, I'm not looking to make those things manifest. I just want God, whatever He has for us, you know. My wife said, you know, in announcement, she said as she opened, she's like, we need to be, just open for whatever God has. And I just can't get away from this idea that I got to preach when I come here. And the reason is because God has things for us that He's trying to establish in us. In fact, the message that we're preaching on tonight, to be completely honest with you, there's not a lot of Christians that really know this, and this is basic stuff. This is basic things of prayer, amen? Yeah. Glory to God. So we don't want to be, and the reason I brought up the Pentecostals and stuff like that, because a lot of times you'll see them. Some of those people are prayers, and they'll pray for hours, and they'll do all kinds of stuff in that nature, but they miss the mark in other areas. And the reason they miss the mark is because they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And I'm not saying all Pentecostals, all everybody and anything. Like, we certainly will at times will have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. But what we endeavor is to submit to knowledge. We endeavor to submit to the Word no matter what. And I've gone to the place where I've completely torn apart every doctrine that I believe in. I've looked at everything that I've preached and stood on it and looked at it and said, is this God? And then I want to know, how is God? And so I go to the scripture and I listen to teachings and I go back to the scripture and I study the scripture and I see, are these things that we're teaching, are they really God? And the bulk, I would say the bulk of that, I can honestly say, yes, they are. And there'll be times where I may correct things or enhance things, or I've gotten a little more revelation of something, and so I share more on it. But I believe, to the best of our knowledge and ability, that we stay in the knowledge of God, because that is where the help is. That's where people's help is. Amen? Amen. But there's a few things we need to understand about prayer as we go into it. Number one, prayer is not hard. I think I've said this recently, but prayer is not a hard thing. And so we have to get over this idea that prayer is a difficult thing. It's not something that you need to be trained to do. And what I mean by that is in its most basic form, the very first step of prayer, you don't have to have any understanding. All you got to have is a belief in God and faith enough that He'll hear from you. That's the first and foremost thing that we need to understand about prayer. Now, that does not mean there is not deeper things in prayer. There certainly is. And like with anything, you know, you will learn that as you progress. Amen? As you put it to practice. You know, I was talking to my wife today. I was stirred up about these things, and I was talking about many types of things with prayer. And I was just saying to her, I was like, you know, and the Lord showed me. It's just like a relationship with my wife. When I met her, I didn't say, man, there's got to be multiple levels of Renee. And if I just dig in deep enough, if I just have enough faith, I'll get. I didn't think any of that. I just loved her so much that I just wanted to have a relationship with her. Yeah. I wanted to know everything about her. We've progressed to the point where her and I both know more about each other than anybody else on this earth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And that's the way it should be. Well, then why can't it be that way with God? And if God gave us marriage as the ultimate, the best understanding of covenant that we could have, so it would reflect our lives with Him, glory to God, then we can understand that He's not much different. If we just hunger for God, if we get zealous for God and then endeavor to have knowledge and truth about Him, we certainly will learn all about Him. He'll be able to teach us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We should not be stressed by prayer ever. If you're stressed by prayer, something is wrong.
Yeah, right.
You should not be stressed by prayer. Amen.
Amen.
The fact that we have prayer, that we have access to God in prayer, this fact alone should build something huge on the inside of us. The knowledge that I can access the Father at any point in time. Amen. That I can get into what He has for us. Or for me, any point in time, that I can hear from Him, that I can trust Him, that I can rely on Him. You ever feel alone? Have you ever felt alone in life? Have you ever gotten to a point where you just thought, man, there isn't nobody? God always hears you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, like I said, you know, some people have a very shallow relationship with the Lord, and so it's not built on much, and so they don't understand much. But we need to not have a shallow relationship with God. We need to endeavor to just have a good relationship with God. And again, I want to encourage you to, how do we have a good relationship with God? Just think about how you would want a good relationship with anybody.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then give it everything you got. Amen. Just start going to Him, go into His presence. You know, really, it's as simple as that. There's times where, you know, as I was leaving these meetings, the Lord spoke to me and about spurts in prayer. He literally just wrote those words down, I think, in my notes somewhere. Spurts of prayer. Spurts of prayer. You know, sometimes the idea of prayer, like this thing, can be something that seems so like, what do I got to do? Do I have to set aside all this? And yes, there's times where you're going to set aside time and get into prayer and specifically, to do that. But that's not how you build a relationship. My wife and I have intense moments together. Amen. In good ways, right? We have times where we experience each other in wonderful ways, and it's really intense. But those moments aren't all the time. We can't live like that. Amen? But that doesn't mean we love each other less. And the same thing is with God. Amen? We need to be intimate with God. We need to learn how to be intimate with God. And we'll only do that. Now, this is not some weird teaching, you understand. There is examples. Amen? Communicating is not hard. But you can grow more adept at it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Prayer is just simply, in its basic form, prayer is communicating.
Yeah.
Communication isn't just what you say to God, but what He also says to you. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen them. There's this new thing out there, these boards for dogs. And they have little buttons all over them. Anyone seen these things? And you train a dog about the buttons. One button will say treats. One button will say, like, poo-poo. Like, literally, that's what it is. And so the dog goes up. You train the dog, and the dog goes up and steps on the board. Treats. Poo-poo. You know exactly what they want because they learn how to use it, and they learn, you know, that when they press this button, that that's how they express themselves. Amen?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Yeah, I don't have one of those for my dog, and I don't take the time to train my dog. I'm not going to. I think it's neat, but it's really neat that you can get to a place of communication with the dogs that we never had before. I saw this one video. It was really funny. This dog went up and just started stepping on the treats button. Treats, 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 treats. It did it like 50 times. It just stood on the treats button, you know, amen? Because he knew what it was, knew what it wanted, amen? Glory to God. But it's just communication is all that it is. But how many know that as they learn, when they just first, they could step on any of them, they wouldn't know what it was. But as they learn, as they spend time, as the owner spends time with them and they're pressing the right buttons, they get what they want. They get to hear. And God, communication with God is like a dog board. We don't necessarily understand everything in the spirit. You might not understand everything, but as you spend time and you allow Him to teach you and you allow His word to be built in you, amen? And this is what I saw today, and I thought this was great revelation. Prayer is like an airport. Amen? Airports are extremely helpful. They can be annoying. Prayer is not annoying. So there's not. It's not a completely like an airport. Amen. But they are extremely helpful. If there's anyone who has to travel, you may not like flying. I don't love flying, and I don't love flying not because I'm afraid of it. I think mostly because it's miserable. I just hate sitting in a tube in an uncomfortable chair for hours. But you know what? It's better than sitting in a box uncomfortable for many hours. And so you know, you get to go places that you couldn't go otherwise. Amen. Yeah. But you know, prayer is like an airport. An airport has a lot of destinations, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's different terminals. When you go to an airport, you know, there is a knowledge to an airport that is helpful. When I first flew, the first time I ever flew, I didn't have any idea how to use an airport. It scared the heck out of me. I'll just be honest with you. Because I went to an airport and I was like, well, where do you go and what do you do? And now I've got it. I mean, I've got it down pat. When I go through an airport, I'm wearing everything specifically just right. You know, no belt. I'm wearing I have everything packed away where it's got nothing in my pockets. Because when I go in, I want to fly right through the lines and go to my destination. Amen. I don't want to get held up. I don't want to have to figure stuff out or think about where to place stuff. I got it all figured out. Well, that's some time spending in there. Amen. But it's faith to use an airport, doesn't it? There is a little bit of faith involved in that. You wouldn't go to an airport if you were pretty sure that the plane was going to crash. And you wouldn't go to the airport to take a plane if you were pretty sure that they never took people where they said they were going to take them, right? But the same thing is with God. A lot of people aren't coming to God because they don't know what to think about God. They're not even spending time with God. They're not even taking those spurts in prayer. They're not even taking those times to get to know him because they're just not sure. The only thing you need to go know when you walk into an airport is you got to know that it's going to take you somewhere.
Yeah.
So if you can walk into prayer knowing that it's going to take you somewhere, you've already started off on a good foot. Amen. Have faith in God. It's going to take me somewhere. I'm just coming to God because it's going to take me somewhere. You know, there's a lot of Christians that pray in such a way that they don't know it's going to take them somewhere. They just say, well, this is a try. This is something I'm going to throw at it. I don't know if it's going to work or not. That's what they're feeling on the inside. But that is not why God gave us prayer. God gave us prayer so we could be blessed, so we could contact him, so we could connect to him, so we could communicate back and forth, so we could learn him and he could teach us. Amen. And that's exactly what it's for. Now, again, when you go to an airport, you're going to go to a certain terminal because you have a certain destination in mind. And the same thing with prayer. There's different terminals in prayer. There's different avenues of prayer. Some, yes, they take a little bit longer to learn. Some, you know, come with some experience. Some come, you know, some only come by the Holy Ghost. There's some forms of prayer that you can only pray in the Spirit. And so, therefore, Christians who are not filled with the Spirit, that don't pray in other tongues, there's certain things that they just can't ever get into because that's a terminal that they'll never go to. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you learn as you go.
Yeah.
And as you start learning, you start realizing that airports aren't scary. They're useful. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's exactly the way our life in prayer is.
Okay.
It's not scary. It's not scary to be before the Lord. It's not scary to go to him. It's practical. It's helpful. It does what he intended it to do. That's why he gave it to us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Timothy.
Lord.
1 Timothy 2. You know, I struggled a lot over the years with prayer because I knew people who were spiritual and they would teach us things and they would talk about things and all that stuff is good, but I would get scared because I would get frustrated because it just didn't seem like I wasn't getting to that level. But you know, when I learned to just trust the Lord, I remember, I told you guys, I think recently, you know, there was one time I prayed 3 hours straight in other tongues. I just sat there, I went after it, and I prayed. I got all the way through 3 hours, and nothing happened. Then afterwards, after I was done with that, the Lord said, why don't you just trust me?
Yeah.
Why don't you just trust me? He said, trust me to get in. Trust me to get to where you need to be. Now, that doesn't mean that he wasn't saying neglect prayer, only do it once in a while. But he's saying, trust me, make it a part of your life. Prayer spurts, I mentioned that. You know, really what that was about taking moments where, I'm just sitting there, I'm thinking about God, so I'm going to take a few seconds to pray. I'm praying, thinking about a situation, so I'm going to pray about it. Something comes up, so I just start praying about it. Sometimes I'm just walking into Home Depot, I start praying in the Spirit. I just start praying in other tongues. Why? Because I've been taught how to do it. I just let it go. Let it. You know, I don't go into any great place there usually in Home Depot or anything like that. There's many times when I walk in there praying in the Spirit or Walmart anywhere. Amen. And so it doesn't happen. to be something. Yes, again, there will be times where you set aside time to pray. You know, especially there's times where you may be interceding, and we're going to learn a little bit about that. When you may be interceding for somebody where you really got to tackle it and you got to spend time doing it. Amen. Glory to God. Did you find 1 Timothy 2 yet?
Yes.
Glory to God. We're going to start in verse 1. We'll read through verse 5. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we see here, well, I'm going to read verse 2 too, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Amen. Okay, so first it talks about a few things here. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. What are the difference between all these things? You know, I wondered it myself for so long because it just seems so hard, but it's really not hard. Prayers, generally speaking, the word prayers is a, like I said, it's like an airport. It's many things. These other things are terminals. Amen. Different kinds of terminals, different destinations. Just think of it like that. Supplications, what supplications are, literally supplications where you ask for something. It's where you petition for something. Yeah. You know, you're asking, if you come to me and you're like, Pastor Jeff, I need you to come over to my house and fix this shelf. You're supplicating. Yeah. That's what you're doing. You're asking me for something. Amen? Yeah. That's as simple as it is. See, a lot of people think that's just what prayer is, but that's not what prayer is. Sometimes prayer is just worship. Prayer can be a form of prayer, a terminal in prayer can be worship, where you just get down on your knees and you're just, God, you're so wonderful. You're just so good. Thank you so much for all you do. You're such a good God. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. And you just praise God and you just spend time doing that. Christians, that should be a form of prayer that we do. Prayer is not hard. Amen. Be a form of prayer that enters our life. Something good happens to you immediately. Look to God and say, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for moving that into my life. Amen. Even little victories. Who cares? Just get in the habit of being thankful. Amen. And worshiping him. Amen. So supplications is simply asking for God. Intercessions is something a little bit different. Intercessions is where you're interceding for on behalf of someone or something else. Amen. And so maybe somebody you know is not saved, and you're praying for them. Because here's the thing that we know. We have knowledge, right? We have this knowledge. If you know people that are unsaved, surely you're going to watch things happen in their life that you don't like. Here's another thing, intercession. I'll get back to that, but I just want to stir it on this. Maybe somebody comes before you. Somebody who is even a Christian. Somebody comes before you and there's, you know, there's something there, or maybe God shows you something about them or something like that. And you have knowledge of something that is God giving you a place to intercede for them. How do you intercede? We don't know what to do, right? We don't know. That's where praying in the Spirit is real helpful, because if you don't know specifically, you don't know what to pray for. But maybe God chose you specifically. Then you pray for that. Maybe God chose you. Pastor Renee is out sinning. She's out sinning really bad. So you just say, in the name of Jesus, I just take authority. You know what I mean? You just start going after. You start praying again. I'm just kidding. She ain't going to be out sinning. But you understand what I mean. But there's things where God will show you, reveal things to you. You know, we always say this: God doesn't do things. You know, experiences with God, God never is doing them for entertainment purposes. You know, some people are like, oh, I want experiences with God, so they try to have experiences with God, pray for experiences with God. No, that's not doing for entertainment. If God shows you something, God reveals something to you, or stirs something up on the inside of you, the reason for that is to pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reason for that is to intercede, to help. See, what intercession is, Jesus intercedes for us. The Bible says that he makes intercession to the Father for us. What he's doing is he is constantly sitting in heaven saying, my blood's covering him, my blood's covering him, my blood's covering him. Amen?
Yeah.
He's constantly interceding. Why? Because that opens the door for us to be able to be right before God. That's the only way that we're right before God. But see, sometimes if you take somebody back to the person of the world, maybe you have a family member who's not serving God. You can intercede for them because their prayers might not be heard from God, but your prayers will be. And so maybe God will show you somebody. A lot of times we'll get mad at people. See, this is why Christians got to act right. We'll just get mad about people. It says here to pray for, well let's take the president, for example. Whoever's in office, you might just get mad at them. Do you know what that's a cue to pray?
Yeah.
Intercede.
Wow.
They need your interceding. They need your intercession. That's what it's for. And of course, I'm kind of hanging out here because this is a very important form of prayer. We have to understand there are different types of prayer and there's different responses. You cannot have control over somebody else's will. You can't do that. So you can make power available by praying in the Spirit. And sometimes as you're praying in the Spirit, God will reveal things to you specifically about it that you can tackle. Like maybe you're praying in the Spirit about something because you don't, the Bible says, just like the Bible says, you don't know how to pray as you ought. You just know you need to pray. And so you start praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden something drops in you. Maybe it's a sickness or a demon or something like that. That's how Jesus was effective. Because he interceded for people, and then he knew what he had to do. The Lord would reveal to him. And see, as you get good with hearing the voice of God, you won't necessarily need to be in prayer for 10 hours to do it. You may be walking down the street, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will speak to you and says, you know, cast out that demon. Yeah. Or lay hands on that sick person. You remember there was a time when I was in the coffee shop there, and this man that I knew who was dealing with a sickness walked by me. And the Spirit of God on the inside of me spoke to me and said, would you have enough faith to stand up and heal him if I told you to? And I'm afraid to tell you that my answer was no. I was deathly afraid of it. Now, just because you're afraid doesn't mean you don't have enough faith. But I was so afraid of it that I knew that I couldn't do it. And that told me something. What did that tell me? It was just to condemn me, of course. No, it has nothing to do with that. It told me that I needed to spend more time with God. So then when the time comes, when he tells me to heal somebody, because there's people that go without getting healed. There's people that go without what they were supposed to have because Christians weren't interceding. We need to be willing to intercede. And yes, intercession will take time out of your day. It will take time out of your night sometimes. You know, there's all kinds of times, especially if you're someone given to prayer. And so, but it says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I'm trying to teach a lot in a short period of time. We're not going to get to it all tonight, but we're going to get some of it. Amen. Yeah. Giving of thanks be made for all men. Amen. Giving if they, you know, they don't even know that they need to be thankful for God. This town has no idea that they need to be thankful that this church sits in it. Amen. But we need to give it the thanks to God for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Look at that. Our quiet and peaceable life is attached to what we pray or what we don't pray. Our quiet and peaceable life is attached to, do we spend any time with God or do we spend no time with God? Quiet and peaceable life. What is, again, what is prayer? Prayer is simply in the most basic form is just communication with God. Yes, there's different terminals for different destinations, but it's not hard. We need to learn how are we going to grow. You just do it by talking. You do it by starting and then just not letting go of it. And what I mean by that is, you, like I said, you go about your day, spurts of prayer. Maybe your spurt of prayer will only take a few minutes. Maybe it'll only take a few seconds. Just be willing to do it. Willing to listen, be sensitive. Say, is the Lord calling on me right now? Is God drawing me to himself? Learn to feel that draw. Learn to see that draw. And when you do, God will lead you in amazing ways. Amen. But one of the reasons it's so good to learn that is because by learning those things, you'll be able to be effective, more effective at life. This is where I'm just telling you all the time. Can I tell on myself? Yeah. There's this still small voice that I've been having a hard time listening to. I've been hearing it, but I haven't been doing what it tells me to do. And it's a very practical aspect of my life. But every time I hear it, and every time I don't do it, I always inconvenience myself. So the other day, I'm driving, I got my Aunt Jean, her youngest son, Kevin. I grew up, he was like a brother of mine. Amen. And I don't see near enough of him, but this year I had posted, we made a little bit of maple syrup and I posted a video of it, you know, online or whatever. And he sends me a message and he's like, yo, you know, I want some of that maple syrup. And I said, well, I didn't make much, but I was like, you know, I just want to bless him. So I made sure I'm going to give him some of it, you know. Well, yesterday, as I was, I had to go uptown in Jamestown. He lives out past, you know, Faulkner, out that way, out the same direction my mom lives. And as I was going uptown, I was going to go uptown and get my hair cut and stuff like that. I wasn't planning on going out near his house or or anything like that. But as I was getting ready, my mom called me. And she had this issue, like where she came out in the morning and her entire kitchen had water in it. So that wasn't a good issue. But she told me what was going on, and I knew what it was. It was a quick, easy fix. But I said, well, I got to come up for a haircut. I'll go up and look and make sure, you know. And as I'm walking out the door, that still small voice, I'm kind of walking through the kitchen, and there's that jar of maple syrup, and that still small voice speaks up in this inside of me and just impresses on me, take that jar of syrup, right? Take that jar of syrup, real simple. And I just thought, nah, it's all the way over there on the other side of the room. I'm not going to walk all the way over there and get that syrup. And so I walked out the door. And it was funny because I went to my mom's house and, you know, I looked at the fix and needed to, and I didn't know what I was going to have to do for the fix or anything, but I was like, okay, this is all it needed. A little seal is all it needed. And the closest place to get that was a place called 84 Lumber, right? Which is a little bit further past my house or my mom's house. Guess what's right in between my mom's house and 84 Lumber? Kevin's house. And as we drive by, I said to my mom, rather disgusted with myself, I said, see, I'm driving right by his house, and I couldn't have brought that syrup. Now I've got to inconvenience myself. Not that I don't want to see him, you understand. But I could have left it there as a blessing. I could have driven by. I was driving right by the house. I could have just dropped it off. I almost could have reached out the window and sat it on his porch as I drove right by. And yet, no, here I got to go. And you make that trek, you know, a half hour drive, one way just to get syrup. Amen. But see, that's the type of thing, like the Lord will practice with us as we live life, and we'll be inconvenienced. And if we're smart about it, which I was not, we'll pick up on these things. Amen. Glory to God. It goes on to say here. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is good and acceptable? He said this is. That's living a good, that's living a quiet and peaceable life and godliness. That's good and acceptable to God. Amen? Christians, we need to get to a place where we're quiet and peaceable. But you know how that's going to happen? By spending time with God. This is the thing. It does not matter what you're doing. There's no excuse for not seeking God. There's no excuse. It's easy. It literally happens. It's not something, you know, it's not, you got to sit down and pray in tongues, da 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 da, and you got to be on your knees, and you got to be fixing. That, you know, the Muslims do that. The Jews do that. They have to do a certain thing and be in a certain place. You know, one time I was seeking God in prayer. I'm just sharing some things with you too here. But I was seeking God in prayer, and I was like, Lord, do I need to go here and pray more? And the Lord showed me the property he gave me. And he said, I've prepared a place for you. Hallelujah. Amen. He's prepared a place for me. Yeah. What is he saying? He's, you know, in Jesus, of course, we understand this. In John 14, Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you. Yeah, I was on this rant today. I've been studying that out. I actually found another minister who at least somewhat agrees with me. But I was studying that out. Jesus wasn't talking about the heavenly place. It's great. He is going to have a heavenly place for us. But in context, those whole scriptures, that whole section of scriptures is about the incoming of the Holy Spirit and what he was going to do. And I'm not teaching on that tonight. I'm not teaching on that tonight. But that's what his desire was. He was going to prepare a place for us to be able to get into God's presence. You know, in those same scriptures is where he says, all who come to God, praise the Lord, or no one comes to the Father except through me. And then right after that, he talks about the Holy Spirit. What's the connection? The connection is what the Word says. Amen. And so we have to understand that what God wants to do in us, that he wants us to get into that place where we're living in his presence all the time. But it's not a hard thing. It's not like I have to be prostrate on the floor. You remember, like, the Jews had to pray in a certain place. Remember, and the woman at the well said, you know, you Jews pray here, we pray here. And what did Jesus say? He said, "He said the time is coming and now is when those who worship me will worship me in what? Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. What does that mean? We don't have to go to a specific spot. He's prepared a place for us. That place is the Holy Spirit. That place is the place of getting in to the place that the Holy Spirit has prepared for us. Glory to God. Amen. All supplicating is prayer, but not all prayer is supplicating. Kind of touched on that. Amen. I want to finish these. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so here's the other thing that we have to know. And this is really important. I wanted to get here. I am not the mediator between you and God. People will often come to me. Oh, listen, I have no problem. If you come to me and you say, I have this prayer, I want you to pray with me, I have no problem doing that. But you have to understand that that is a different terminal. That is called the prayer of agreement. There's nothing wrong with coming to your pastor and saying, Pastor, will you pray with me on this or will you help me with that? Absolutely not. That is my job. God has put me here as a liaison. I'm like the guy at the counter that points to that one, said, you're going to go to Terminal C. That's down that direction, gate 28. Amen? That's what I'm doing. But it's your job to go to the gate. Me going to the gate for you does not get you to the destination you want to be at. I am not your mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. And he sits in heaven right now. It is not me. I can't do it for you. And that's what a lot of people think. They think, well, if I just get somebody spiritual enough to pray, you don't have to be spiritual to access God. You have to be a believer to access God. Once you're a believer, then you can just access God. You don't have to have any lessons on it. You just have to start doing it. You have to have enough faith to look to him in heaven and say, you know what? I'll do it. I'll go to God. I trust him. That's the very basis and foundation of our faith. Yet Christians, and I don't think there's anyone in this room that's really has done this, but there's Christians that just, like, something's going on in their life, they have to get their pastor to pray about it. It's not my job. I will. I'll agree with you in prayer. I'm happy to do so. Praise the Lord. But it's not my job. Your job is to pray. I'm not your mediator. But we are mediators between the world and God.
Yeah.
And that's a truth. That's an absolute truth. You may need prayer for somebody. You may have somebody in your family that doesn't know God. Listen, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to help you here.
Yeah.
Don't tell people who are unsaved or who don't go to church or who reject God, don't tell them to just trust God.
That's right.
Don't tell them to just pray and trust God because their prayers are completely ineffective.
Yeah.
The only thing, like, listen, we don't, until the blood of Jesus, there is no mediation between them and God.
Yeah.
And so they're not praying to God. He's not hearing their prayer. The only prayer that God hears before that point is the prayer of salvation. So don't tell people just keep praying and trusting God. You can't do that. Because if they're not serving God, listen, here's the other truth. If they're not serving, you all are serving God. You're here. I know all of you. I'm looking at all of you. You all love the Lord. Every single person in this room. Praise the Lord. And in the back room there, every single person in here loves the Lord. I'm just going to help you. I'm just going to help you. I know that. I can see that in your lives. Amen. You might not be perfect, but every one of you has access to God. But most of the people out there do not. And even people that come in here and perpetually live in sin or reject the truth, do the wrong things, that those people are losing their access to God. They're cutting off the flow. Now, there is a mediator when we don't live that way, which is Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But we have to say, don't tell them to pray that. What you need to encourage them to do is you need to encourage them to get connected to church. You need to get them encouraged to become Christians, to be born again, to change their lives, to get in the Word, to start making those changes. Now, if somebody comes in or you start making breakthrough with somebody and maybe they start looking, God, yes, God will. He's not cruel. He's not trying to reject them. But you have to understand, it's not God's choosing that men and women don't come to him. It's not God's choosing that they don't, like the people that go to hell, that's not God choosing it. He's not saying, oh, well, you get to go to hell. You know, there's Calvinists, like Calvinists believe that. They believe that God has set some people aside for heaven and some people aside for hell. It's foolish. A loving God could not do that because that's not love.
Right.
It's not love. Glory to God. And so if you're see, this is the problem with scriptures, and even like the ones I mentioned earlier, this is the truth about scriptures. When we read scriptures wrong, or we put our religious stamp or our background into it, then we'll read it the way we want it. And that's why people get things that aren't truth. They don't submit to knowledge. They only want to submit to what they think they know. Glory to God. One of the things I love doing is shake, rattle, and rolling my theology. Man, they ask my wife. I do it all the time. My friends in the faith, they get mad at me sometimes. I have even had one friend yell at me. What's the good of this? I'll tell you what the good is. It keeps me accurate.
Yeah.
It keeps me on course. Yeah. It keeps me knowing that the thing I'm preaching is truth. And if I don't know it, I'm not preaching it.
Right.
I'm not just going to preach someone else's revelation. I'm going to preach the revelation that I have, the things that I know. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going too much further than I wanted to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you understand that if we filter things through religious thinking and not through the truth of what things actually say, we're going to miss all that God has for us. So I don't know if I answered that. I say I answered it. Nobody asked me that question, but I knew that was something I had to go on. If you have somebody who doesn't serve God, doesn't know God, you need to intercede for them, pray for them, release faith for them. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, sometimes you'll continually have to. Why? Because they're not just going to sin today. They're going to sin tomorrow. They're going to sin later. But you don't get, like, in fear about it like Job did. Because that's why the trouble came on Job. You don't get in fear about it and just start going, you know, I better pray for them in case they sin. No, you just stand in the gap. You go to the Father. Lord, I thank you that you're working. And you can pray in the Spirit about it. And when you're praying in the Spirit about it, maybe you're going to have to, you know, there's all kinds of things. Folks, I'm just going to help you here with something. I didn't plan on getting into this, but there are things that happen in life to people, sometimes good people, and you don't know all the reasons why they happen. But rest assured, there's always a reason. And the reason isn't because God is trying to wipe people out. God is not trying to take good people off this earth. I'm just telling you, he's not. Now, there is a truth to running your course, running your race. Amen? And that there are times when that, or there's a time when that is over as well. But we have to get past this thinking that God is taking people or destroying. It's not like that at all. People will suffer on many things. One of I've heard of good Christian people. I just heard of one recently, a pastor, wonderful minister of the gospel, ministers to thousands of people, and is a good man of God. And one of his children died. In a tragic way, in a car accident or something like that. And it's, you know, it's horrible. And it's like, you know, people want to sit there and say, well, that must have been God's. That was not God's will. Don't, just because something happens, don't think that it's God's will. We have to get over this idea because God, the Bible tells us that is not the way the world works. The world is not controlled and manipulated by God. In fact, let me give you a little proof to this. Amen. Garden of Eden. God planted a garden in Eden, and he put man in the midst of the garden, and he told him to do two things. He told him to take care of it, and he told him to protect it.
Yeah.
Why did God, if all the earth was perfect and without any kind of sin on it? Do you know sin did not enter the world when man sinned? That's when sin entered mankind, but it was not when sin entered the world. Now, this is some theology that's real good for you, amen? Praise the Lord. But it'll make you think right, too. God planted a garden in Eden, and he told man, keep it, which is protect it, and tend to it, you know, take care of it. In fact, the Bible tells us that, you know, when he had planted the garden, that there was no man to till it, so he put man in there. So even labor was part of God's plan. Now, labor with you know, thorns and thistles and stuff like that wasn't part of God's plan. But we do know that there was labor involved in it. Oh, there's some good stuff I could get into here, but I'm just not going to because we got to go in a different direction. But these are things we have to understand that God did not, God intended. I mean, by the time man was on the scene, the serpent was already around.
Yeah.
The devil was already fallen.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people think that, you know, and this is where the, I personally am not somebody who believes in the earth is 6,000 years old. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I think it's people who are deceived that teach that. And when I mean deceived, they don't see it right. I think there's a lot more that points to it being older. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically for sure. I love what Frank Turek says. He says, I am at least sure of this. I'll use my age, for example. He says, I can say to you, I am at least sure that the earth is at least 45 years old. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's something that we can bank on. But there was a lot that happened before man was on the scene. Amen. We have to understand that. This book is not a complete exhaustive history of all of the world and everything. This is a snippet. If it is, it's very incomplete. I'm telling you, it's very incomplete. There's a lot that isn't in here. Amen. But this book is purposeful for what it is. It's instructions for us. It's to show us the plan of redemption. Glory to God. And I believe that part of the redemption was the redemption of the earth. Because God instructed man to have dominion on the earth, which man did not have. He gave up. Jesus came back to give us dominion back. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm not going, I know I was preaching about prayer, but this is some stuff that we have to understand. But, you know, when we go to God, why do these things matter? Do these things matter? Of course they do. Because if you believe wrong about God, if you believe that God might answer your prayers and is just waiting to whisk people away at his random divine sovereign will, then your prayer is not going to be very faith-filled, is it? Glory to God. When you pray for yourself, you're going to pray differently than when you pray for someone else. I mean, for yourself, if you pray for your own life. It is not wrong, and I've never said this, it is not wrong to look to God and pray about things in your life. It's wrong to focus on that. Amen? And so we always have to make sure that we have that balance. But as we pray, glory to God, you may be praying and you have a situation in your life. Sure, take it to God. Absolutely take it to God. Say, Lord, this is, you know the situation, and I just want you to know I'm trusting you. Or whatever, you know, that's generic, but, you know, whatever the situation is. And so, praise God. Hallelujah. We are mediators between the world and God. If we want change in our midst, we are going to have to pray for change in our midst. Yeah. Amen? Now, I want to just say this. You know, some people... There's some people that would have a serious issue with me saying, and there's been people in the church that have had a serious issue with me saying things like, I don't believe the earth is only 6,000 years old. Fine. It's not going to move the needle much. If you believe it's 6,000 years old and I believe it's 6 billion years old, what does it matter? What does it really matter? I mean, truthfully, there's people that would get so hung up on that they just have to say, like, listen, the Bible doesn't spend that much time talking about it. But the reason I bring it up is because when you start putting things together, you know, I've seen where people get into error because they believe something wrong about God. And you can look at scripture and interpret. That's exactly what people do all the time. They look at scripture with preconceived error, and then they try to interpret the scripture based on what they believe. And when you do that, you can make the Bible say anything that you want. Yeah. Amen? I want to be accurate. You want to be accurate. Amen? Glory to God.